being here. Hang on just a second. Now, I was trying to think of somewhere else I'd rather be. I couldn't think of any. Open your Bibles back to 1 Chronicles 29 again. Yeah, oh, that's a long list. While you're finding your place in 1 Chronicles, it'll give me an opportunity to welcome those of you that are just joining us on our YouTube channel or listening in to the audio in our website. We thank you for joining us and being a part of our worship service here at First Baptist in Burton, Texas. 1 Chronicles, last two verses of chapter 29, the last two verses of 1 Chronicles. Now, the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the countries. And we saw here in these two verses last time that his acts are what he did, his reign is what he said, and his might was the strength of his character in the choices that he made in his decisions. These were all under his control. Then there's the times that went over him personally and over his country, Israel, and over all the rest of the countries of the world. And that happened during his 70 years of time here on earth. And everything is summed up of David in these last four verses of 1 Chronicles. What is going to be summed up in the last four verses of your life? What is going to be summed up in everything that you have done in your actions, the things that you have said, the choices and the decisions that you've made? What will be summed up about you? We have no power or control over the times that pass over us. They are in the hands of the providence of God, we saw. The providence of God is His work, whereby He governs, preserves, and controls that which He has created. He not only has the power to create, but He has the power to control that which He has created. It's still under His hands, just like He had power to give His word. He still maintains the power to preserve His word, despite all the counterfeits that are being peddled off as the Bible. God has still preserved His word perfect. Aren't you glad? Now our faith can function and operate. It cannot function under a theological opinion. Faith cannot function over a translation opinion. It can only function from God's word and what He said. God controls that which He has created. It's under His control. He's on the throne. We need to remind ourselves of this, though we know it. We need to apply it during the times that we find ourselves in. We also saw that not only are these times under the providence of God, but they are a preparation for us. They prepare us to live a Christ-like life. They mold us and shape us as part of the work of sanctification that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. So the Lord either directly causes Or he allows certain events and circumstances to pass over us in order that this work of preparation, this work of sanctification, this work of conforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ would take place. Would you notice next that these times that went over David, that they passed over, verse 30 said. The times that went over him, they passed. Keep your finger there and go to Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time. These are the times that pass over us. To everything there's a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Folks, the times that pass over our individual lives do pass over. They don't stay. Aren't you glad? There's going to be times of trial and testing, of sickness and pain, of disappointment and loss. There's going to be times of sorrow and crying. But there's also going to be times of ease and rest, times of health and energy, times of victory and gain, and times of laughter and rejoicing. And God causes those times to pass over us as we need them. If too many times of joy and laughter was there, we would never weep with those that are weeping and crying. If all the times were weeping and crying, we'd never know the joy of allowing the joy to come out of our heart to rejoice and to laugh in the presence of the Lord. The different times pass over us. They do not stay. What's constant is the everlasting presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. I also see here in verse 29, back in 1 Chronicles, that these times are preserved. They are recorded. He said, now, the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they're written. They're written in the books of Samuel, Nathan, and Gad. That is 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. As a Christian, one day, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at a place called the judgment seat of Christ. Not the great white throne judgment that the lost will be judged in Revelation 20. No, this is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and in Romans 14, and described in more detail in 1 Corinthians 3. This is the judgment seat of Christ. The books will be opened. The book where all of our sins are recorded. When that book is open, it's going to contain blank sheets of paper. Nothing's going to be on them. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We are eternally justified before God because of the work of atonement that Jesus Christ secured in our place on the cross. Amen. But another book is going to be opened that contains our acts, our reign, our might, and the times that went over us. What we did, what we said, and the choices that we made for Jesus Christ and for His glory and His purpose. Then we will either receive a reward or rewards, or 2 Corinthians 5 said we will suffer the loss of rewards. A 1,000 years is a long time to enjoy the rewards of the Lord in His kingdom or to suffer the loss of those rewards. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." It's being recorded. You say, "Preacher, the job I do in the ministry in this church, nobody knows about it." Yes, they do. The Lord's recording it. He's preserving that. And you're going to receive a reward for what you do for Him and what you say for Him and the choices that you make are that are within His will and purpose. Amen. Our labor is not in vain. And then also I see in our text in Psalm 31, if you'll look over there, in Psalm 31, that we are protected from these times that pass over us. Verse 15 in our text says, "My times are in thy hand." My times are in thy hand, David is saying to the Lord. He declares that statement when everything around him was falling apart. Back up to verse 9. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." You notice he mentions the belly. You ever heard of butterflies? Where do you feel that? Yeah. A lot of people have upset stomachs, have acid. And it shows up, those emotions and feelings show up right in your gut. When you're in trouble, when you're facing danger, you feel it in your gut, in your stomach. That's where David is right now. Can't eat, can't sleep, having difficulty and trouble. He said, verse 10, "My life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel, for I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." So here's people plotting to kill him. They're lying about him. They're telling tales that aren't true. Verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." Now, from there on that got him settled, that got him stabilized. He got his eyes off of the enemy. He got his eyes off of the times that were passing over him, and he put it on God. And he found the peace and the joy in the midst of all these problems. We sit here on the hill in this place of refuge and worship and prayer. But all around us, the foundations are crumbling and being destroyed. Crime is rampaging because of the reduction and the persecution of law enforcement, along with the unchecked flow of the criminals and the gangs that's coming across the border. Pestilence and the pandemic are causing people to live in fear of even getting out of their house. Our country is bankrupting itself into a communist third world nation of slavery and deprivation. Remember, that took place after years of indoctrination in the government schools. God was removed. Prayer was removed. Now, in its place, they teach safe sex. Let me tell you something, young folks. There is no such thing as safe sex outside of a marriage covenant with God. Amen. You will destroy your life and your testimony for Jesus Christ. And you will not replace a spiritual fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ by some pimple-nosed punk. I just don't know why they're having all the shootings, all the problem in the schools. I do. Evolution has been taught as a fact, because you've got to come up with some explanation. If you kick God out, how'd we get here? What's our purpose? What's being taught is there is no purpose. Eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die. The Epicurean philosophy is alive and well in 2021. There's been almost 50 years of legalized abortion in this country. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, all of you's had a chance to get it repealed and you haven't. Do you know the most dangerous place to be at in this country? By statistics, the most dangerous place to be is in the womb of your mother. It's been over 6 years since this country said that what God is calling marriage isn't so. And so homosexual marriage was legalized in this country, and it has not been reversed. Now, how? The question is not, is God going to judge? The question is, how can he not? All of the environmental difficulties we're going through has absolutely zero amount due to climate change or global warming, or as they said years ago, global cooling. It has to do with the judgment of God. The times that are passing over us in our individual lives and in America and in the countries of the world, we are powerless to change. And that's what's causing the frustration and the anger and the churning in our stomachs. But like David, what stabilizes us, what calms all of our fears and worry and removes the frustration is the fact that these times are in the hands of the Lord God Almighty. And they're being allowed to take place in order to serve His will and His purpose, not ours. How we respond and react to these times in what we do and in what we say and in the decisions and choices we make will determine what kind of Christian lives that we will live and what impact we will have on this ungodly and unrighteous culture. Civically, we have a responsibility to vote. And if you don't vote, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You need to live in a communist country. And you can hold the politicians and the bureaucrats accountable for what they're doing instead of just sitting griping about it over a cup of coffee that doesn't change anything. Spiritually, you can pray specifically that God would allow repentance to take place in this country before the last of the judgment begins to fall. We can throw off the restraint that we're covering the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives by our flesh and by our fleshly conduct. And we can allow the voice of Jesus Christ to come out of our lips and the deeds and the acts and the works of Jesus Christ to come from our hands. That will have an impact on people we come in contact with. We can still live lives of joy, peace, prayer, worship, saturation of God's word. We can still have happy, loving marriages, train our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, train them in the things of God, minister the gospel to the lost, and then minister the fellowship and discipleship to the saved. The times and the world cannot prevent that from taking place in our lives. The times are His providence, our preparation. The times are what passes over us, and they are preserved and recorded, and we are protected in His hand. The times can never take away the presence and the power of God in us. It can never take away prayer. It can never take His word out of our hearts. It can never take away worship and praise that we offer Him or thanksgiving. The times and the world can never take away our faith in His word, our hope, our love, our joy, our peace, or His grace in our lives. You can lock us in a prison and throw away the key. God will still be in the prison with us, comforting us and giving us joy and peace. No, in all these things, and in the times that are presently passing over us, I know, I have an absolute assurance that He is going to work all things for His good, but only to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. In all these things, and in the times that's presently passing over us, we are more than conquerors. We're not victims. You know why? Because I am persuaded by faith in God's word that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how I know that. My life and my times, Lord, are in Thy hand. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that we can have absolute assurance that You are God and that You are our God and our Father and our Savior and our Lord. And Lord, that's what will sustain us during these times of uncertainty, during these perilous times, during these uncertain times. We can live in stable times. We can live in times of peace and joy despite what's going on around us. We can be in this place where David came to in Psalm 31. We can not only believe, but we can apply our belief that we're in Your hands. And nothing is going to happen to us except what You allow. So Lord, I pray it would comfort us. It would give us reassurance. But I pray for my lost friends that it would cause them to run into Your arms, because that's not true of them. They're outside of Your protection. They're outside of Your comfort. Lord, I pray they would find that place of refuge by opening their heart and receiving You as Lord and Savior before it's too late. Lord, I pray Your people would stop living in fear and stop living in the flesh and stop living in the world and stop living like lost people. And I pray that we would stop hindering Your Spirit from manifesting Your presence wherever we go and from what we say. Lord, that we would unashamedly serve You before this lost community. I pray You would use us in Your will and purpose in these times that You have saved us and called us in. Lord, it's no accident we're here. It's no accident we were born now and not 100 years earlier, though we probably wanted to. Lord, You've put Your word in our hearts for a reason. You've exposed us to the truth for a reason. It's in order that we will turn around and show this generation Your truth and Your reality in our lives. And our prayer this morning, Lord, is that You would enable us and empower us to do that without us hindering that work. Lord, save the lost. Lord, speak to Your children words of encouragement and words of challenge. And may we respond in obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.